NFT was kind of the it word, right?
Yeah.
Not even a buzzword, it was the it word. The traditional fashion system's kind of broken, right? The beauty of Cold and Rain is we were never a PFP project. We never sold it as a pump and dump. We sold ourselves as a brand. I do believe that digital wearables is the future for any fashion brand, because you're going to be able to wear your digital fashion and have an entire new experience as long as you have a smartphone. It's 24/7.
Yeah.
Discord doesn't sleep. Twitter doesn't sleep. Web3 doesn't sleep.
Welcome back to the 14th episode of Not a JPEG, a podcast for creators and entrepreneurs building and innovating within Web3 and the blockchain.
Where each week we explore everyday sectors of modern society and how NFTs will revolutionize the way we start, scale, and sell businesses. I'm Katarina. This is Michael.
Hello, hello, hello.
And we are so grateful that you've joined us here today for a really, really unique episode of Not a JPEG.
That's right.
Before we get into it, if this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad you're here. Hit that subscribe button and the little bell to stay notified with any new episodes of Not a JPEG. And if you're on social media, you might as well go check us out at Not a JPEG Podcast. We post 1 minute snippets daily of all the golden nuggets from each of our episodes for you to comment, share, and engage with other people in our community. But beyond the shill, let's get into today's episode. What are we talking about today, Michael?
All right. So today's episode is something we've been looking to for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that we were really waiting till we had the perfect guest to discuss this topic. You know, ever since Artifact started launching its wearables, we've been really looking for the right person. I think we found them. So today's topic and intersection will be NFTs and fashion.
Absolutely. So our guest today is none other than George Yang, the co-founder and creator of Cult and Rain. Cult and Rain is a high-end luxury fashion brand that started in Web3. They've had two successful drops thus far in the 1 year that they've been around. They've got a third one coming out really soon. And we're going to be interviewing George on everything related to the future of fashion and its intersection with NFTs, digital goods, AR wearables, and all of that. So without further ado, let's get into the interview.
Let's bring on George.
So George, welcome to Not a JPEG. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a true pleasure. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you as well, too. Before we get into talking about everything that you're doing in the Web3 space, the main thing I want to ask you is, who are you? What is your personal elevator pitch?
Okay. My name is George Yang. I am the founder of Cult and Rain. My background spans across fashion and a little bit of tech. So I actually started my career with a business degree, and then I worked at IBM for about a year as a product manager way back 20 plus years ago. And decided to give up my tech career because I hated it and move to New York and become a fashion designer. So I have been a fashion creative director now for over 20 years. Started my career at DKNY. I helped launch John Varvatos in New York. I helped build Theory, launched Theory Menswear from 2004 to 2010. I got recruited to Milan, became design director of Costume Nationale. It's a Italian high fashion, like runway fashion brand. So I got my runway experience there. Got recruited to Paris, became design director as a consultant for Guy Laroche. And then I spent another almost 7 years at another maison in Paris called Cheruti Paris. I've always been obviously very passionate about art, very passionate about design. But my most passionate thing, I think, would be collecting sneakers. So I've been a sneakerhead for like, I don't know, 25 years. And my dream was always to start my own brand. because I did runway for 10 years in Europe, I kind of got burnt out by the system, you know, like doing 10 collections a year nonstop, really kind of turned me off at the end when I decided to launch my own brand. So moved back to New York with my wife, and we decided to pursue this dream and start Colt and Rain. Colt and Rain started as a luxury sneaker brand because I had worked with this factory in Tuscany that produces for Balenciaga, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, all the top brands. And my whole angle was to produce a luxury, luxury designer streetwear brand focused on sneakers, kind of like the Supreme of, you know, of sneakers, for example. And it had nothing to do with Web3, had nothing to do with NFTs. And I would say kind of the story started, and maybe we'll jump into that later, but essentially Web3 kicked off because I sold my sneakers to StockX because my wife made me unload a big part of my collection for road money when we moved back to New York because, you know, we were decided to quit our jobs and just go for it. And StockX came back and told me that my sneakers were fake, you know? And I'm like, what the, you know, WTF, who are you to tell me it's fake? I know these details more than you. Why am I paying you 20% for somebody that's supposed to be an expert validate this? And I'm like, why not? Why can't we just put a chip inside a shoe, tie it to blockchain? And that solves kind of ownership and authentication problems. And I think that's kind of like my tech background coming in to play, which is always there. And that's kind of how it started. That was when the light bulb came off and I just started digging into studying blockchain technology and then jumped into this rabbit hole and kind of just never came out, man. It's been about 2 years since I first Googled, you know, like, I guess like crypto, you know, blockchain, Bitcoin, Ethereum, like started first from like Wikipedia. And then found out this entire like ecosystem, this whole world that opened up. So that's a little bit about myself.
Wow. Michael, so this is my second time hearing that. Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I love it. And you know what? It's funny because you already answered like the second and third question that I was about to have for you, which is, you know, why you jumped into Web3, but it totally makes sense. I love your background, the sort of two different industries that you come from. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, using, you know, Web3 and all the things that have attracted us to this technology, you know, with the blockchain to solve a real problem that you faced yourself. And I think like that's how some of the best companies are started.
Absolutely. You're solving a real problem, which is validation of authenticity. And I think that the greatest disruption for that validation is in fashion. So the fact that you're already trying to do that before any of the big houses are doing that, I'm assuming you'd probably know best. That's like, it's huge. That's why I was immediately like, we need to get George on the show because he's doing something that's actually using blockchain tech to push the space forward and push the industry of fashion forward.
Yeah, providing a real use case, right, I'd say.
My question for you is, what's your wife's role in the company? Because...
Oh, wow. This is getting personal. Awesome. My wife is my anchor. You know, she's my rock. And she is actually in the fashion business as well. So... She was a fabric director, worked with Donatella Versace, worked with Tom Ford for many years. And then when we moved back to New York, she actually worked for Theory as well for a period of time. Because obviously as a startup, you know, it's really difficult to cut paychecks and kind of stay alive, right? That's another reason why we jumped into Web3 because we saw an opportunity, but we can talk about that afterwards too, how we got into the NFT game. But she has now joined Colt and Rain about 3-4 months back, and she is helping me with design, development, production, and really my sounding board, I guess, you know, and my main, she is my boss actually. So yeah, she tells me if it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. Yeah.
I love
within
that.
This crazy space of Web3.
I love that. I love that your wife is your boss. But also just the fact that you guys can work together really shows that your partnership is so much more than just, like, you know, life. It's work. It's everything, you know, and that's really, really special and unique. So that's great. You've talked about Cult and Rain and kind of what you started, but I'd really like to understand a bit more about the company. You're talking about the sneakers, but you're doing other drops. Like, what's the value proposition for Cult and Rain? What are you doing that's different, and how are you influencing the fashion space in streetwear or overall?
So we started Cult and Rain, again, based on an idea. We tried to fundraise on this idea of putting a chip inside a sneaker, right? That was before we dropped our first Genesis collection.
Like VC raise sort of thing?
Yeah, like we tried to raise money on the idea of putting a chip inside a sneaker, producing out of Italy, basically. But we were unsuccessful because producing sneakers is very, very expensive and it takes a very long time. You know, so typically each mold costs like 50,000. So
what?
If you want to produce.
Wow.
Yeah. 4 to 5 styles. That's like $250,000 right there.
Oh,
then
wow.
It takes usually between 12 to 18 months to produce from scratch. So from a sketch to production usually takes, again, on average, I would say 15 months. So the idea when you present it to a investor, it's challenging because you're not turning a profit until year 2, year 3, right? And that's why nobody gets into the sneaker game, because it takes a long time and it costs a lot of money, net-net, right?
Interesting.
We dove into Web3 because we wanted to flip the script upside down, you know? And we saw an opportunity after, again, hats off to Artifact for pioneering the way, right? Like, they came up with the model. Let's create a 3D animated asset and then produce the sneakers made to order, essentially tie it to an NFT. The NFT offers a bunch of utilities. The physical is the main one, let's say, right? And this NFT can allow the collector to enter into your ecosystem. So we took that model and just kind of advanced it forward, because we produced, you know, sneakers made in Italy that were more, I would say, I don't want to say advanced, but they were just original drawings that I came up with, you know, because that's my craft, right? So we launched Genesis about a year ago, actually a little bit over a year ago now, which feels like 10 years ago. And we ended up, you know, minting about 1400 NFTs, and we generated about 1.9 million in revenue.
Wow.
And that kind of kicked off the brand. And essentially, our community is our Kickstarter. Our community is our backbone. Our community is our, is everything to us, right? Because they helped us pursue this dream. So that was Genesis. Obviously, we tied utilities to each of the NFTs, and we had a rarity scale attached to it. But the main win from coming into Genesis was the matching physical. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so were the shoes also chipped at that point as well too, or is that new?
They were not. Yeah, they were not. Because I wanted to chip it, but you have to understand these factories are like third generational factories. Actually, Cult and Rain was the first American brand this factory has ever taken on.
Really?
They produce, again, for all Kering, all LVMH and Hermes as well. They've never worked with an American brand. They've never taken on a startup. Okay. Never.
So how did you convince them?
The only reason, because I worked with them in the past at Cheruti.
Okay.
I was in Paris. So I had the relationship, you know, and I sold the owners on a dream, which is Web3, you know, in the future of Web3 and the power of blockchain. I tried to sell them on the chip part, but it would basically break up their entire assembly line, you know, and our sneakers are already extremely complex, you know, to produce very, very like complicated designs. So we decided to, you know, and honestly, a year ago, the tech wasn't really there yet, you know, like now our latest drop, our 002 drop will be chipped, right? And I'm sure we'll talk about that afterwards. But net from Genesis is no, they were not chipped, you know? But we spent, you know, almost 9 months producing these sneakers from zero.
Wow.
Like, literally like 4 styles, 21 colorways. And it was a lot of effort and a lot of work to fulfill our promise to our collectors because they paid a premium for them, you know?
Yeah. So now you sold them on a dream. That's what really stuck out to me. And this is kind of what I know Michael and I really want to talk about in this interview is how the fashion industry currently views Web3, digital goods, all metaverse, all that. Because we've seen some brands like Dolce & Gabbana get in and do like VR clothing or VR fashion shows. They've been first. I think Gucci's done a couple things as well too. But when you were selling your dream on the shoes, what did the manufacturers think? Like, how did you sell them on that? What clicked for them and made them say, oh, this is actually a real thing?
I think what clicked for them is that last February, every single headline during this bull market read Dolce Gabbana, read Gucci, read, you know, you remember the Dolce Gabbana, I think it was the crown or something,
yep,
sold for 2 point something million euros, and NFT was kind of the it word, right?
Yeah.
Not even a buzzword. It was the it word for about, I'd say, 6 months.
Yeah. You know?
Like proper 6 months where every article, every press you would turn to would reference NFTs and the exorbitant amount of money that it generated, you know? So it wasn't a hard pitch to bring it to the factory because I'm like, look, we want to be one of the first luxury fashion brands to bring this concept into Web3. You know, there just aren't that many players, especially back then, you know? So they bought into it. But remember, our concept was made to order, right? So I had already reached out to the factory. I'm like, hey, I have this concept. We're going to go for it. If it bombs, don't worry because you're not going to get an order. Right.
Right.
But if it hits, I'll pass you to order. But the first thing I need to know is are these designs possible? Because I've been designing them for months. And so I flew to Italy, met with the team, and we went through all the design. They're like, yes, this is possible. This you need to modify. This you need to change this. This cannot be produced, you know, and everything along the, I would say, review stage. They're like, okay, it's A-okay. And so then we were just on hold until mint day, right? And then 48 hours later, I called the factory boss and I'm like, it's on, you know? And he was like blown away. He's like, this is crazy.
Wow. Right?
And that was kind of the story. It's like, he didn't, obviously he didn't believe me, right? They were curious, right? Everybody at that point was like, what the hell's going on? You know, like, what is this Web3 blockchain, NFT, what is this game that everybody's diving into, you know? But yeah, that was kind of the beginning. And it was just pure hype, right?
Wow.
So really, I've got
a question. So is that enthusiasm and curiosity still there now that the hype has died down?
Now I would say it's a whole new ballgame. You know, now it's really a whole new... I think everybody has been humbled by the market and has been humbled by Web3. Honestly, I've been humbled. My friends, my family within the space, other, you know, project founders have all been humbled by the rise and the fall of the NFT hype game.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of Cold and Rain is we were never a PFP project. We never sold it as a pump and dump. We sold ourselves as a brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're building a brand. And we always said since day one that I don't care about the floor price. And if you want to come in to do a flip, we're not the right. I have many other brands I can recommend you to that maybe you can get a quick flip, you know? But that's really, I think, also what caused the fallout. I want to say fallout, right? I mean, was just, it weeded out the bad characters. And now I feel like we're finally gaining strength again, mm-hmm. because the only projects that have a legit vision, a legit team, a legit product, a legit community are around.
Yep.
All the others have, they're gone. Huh? I mean, one by one, they've fallen off. And I don't even know how many rug pulls there have been, right? I mean, it's been just, yeah, endless.
It's been a mess. Yeah, I'm with you there. I truly believe that, and I'm seeing it now too, that I think the next bull run wave is going to be seeing strong companies like Cult and Reign that actually have a business plan, that actually are solving a problem and using blockchain technology to solve a real problem that people feel and can relate to. The whole hype train, like, I'm sure it's still going to be around, and I'm sure there's still going to be projects that are based for traders, but Cult and Reign isn't a trading project. It's a company that you're buying into, and it's being built by the community from the ground up, which is what that's what a lot of people like myself and Michael came to the space for. Yeah. Like, the opportunity to do something like that is incredible.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, you know, a guest we had previously, right before you actually, you know, really, he comes from the ad space as me, and he kind of is like, yeah, you know, the first like 8 to 12 months of the NFT space was literally just selling people on ideas of things, right? Because there was no execution. It was just an idea. Those around are ones who have executed and are actually following through with their idea. And everybody else is just kind of pieced out, and that's it.
And we've made a lot of mistakes along the way. Trust me. And we have, you know, fallen into the same trap of over-promising and under-delivering. I'll be the first one to say, you know, to admit that, you know, we promised a lot of things that we had to cut back on, you know, but we did hold on to our promise, which is deliver all of our sneakers across the world, direct to consumer from Italy to your doorsteps, to over almost 700 of our holders.
Wow.
Across 43 different countries.
Wow.
Door to door.
Wow.
You know? We covered shipments, we covered duties, we covered everything, because that's what we promised, you know. And it was very, very expensive to execute, you know, but again, it was worth it to me and the team, because we're building a foundation, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, Cult and Reign is a long-term investment, right? Because building a fashion brand, building any type of brand, it takes time. It's not like, right?
No,
it's not going to happen overnight. And I think that's kind of what Web3 is realizing now. Certain brands, it does take more time. You know, it is more of a hold and wait approach versus a, you know,
a flip and trade
approach.
Yeah.
Flip and trade. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think people in our space, unfortunately, forget too, that if you leave the Web3 space, most businesses take years before they're profitable or before they're able to deliver on most things. Look at fashion, for example. How old are some of the most famous houses? Right? They're hundreds of years old. They've been through hell and high water. Like, a bad example, but I watched the House of Gucci film. I don't know how true it is, but like, even just looking at that and the legacy that's there and how things were handed over and traded between the family to another company and vice versa, like, it takes time to be a brand like Gucci and get into the public eye. And they've pivoted so many times. So, you know, to be able to then apply that to Web3 and think, oh, people are going to be able to build something tomorrow that's of real value. Like, come on. It doesn't make any sense.
For sure. You know, like, the traditional fashion system's kind of broken, right? Because it's a wholesale model. So you design, you produce a runway collection, for example, and it takes you like 6 months to design and develop it. Then you have a show. Then after the show, buyers come and they buy it, right? Then buyers cut an order, and then you produce what the buyers cut. Right, the order is on, and then it takes another 6 to 8 months to produce. Then it hits the stores, and then the consumer gets it. That's why when you see like spring and summer, they're showcasing fall winter things. You know, it's always the opposite season,
yeah.
Right? And it takes literally a year before the customer gets their hands on what they saw from a runway show. Now, a lot of brands have tried direct-to-consumer approach, you know, or see now, buy now. But that takes a lot of investment because you have to purchase stock in advance, which is, again, very, very expensive. So with Colt and Rain, you know, I think our model is unique because we're tying it to a digital asset and it's made to order, essentially. Now, that's not like our whole ecosystem, right? Because we know that eventually digital wearables, right, is going to be where we will be able to capitalize on and scale with. Because I do believe that digital wearables is the future for any fashion brand, because our Gen Zers are now spending, you know, I don't know, 8 hours a day, whatever that statistics is, on Roblox and buying, you know, digital wearables to flex with, right? Like my goddaughter does that. She's like 10 years old and she spends like, I think, $30 to $50 per month on digital wearables on Roblox. And her friends don't see a difference. Their digital identity is means more to them than their IRL, you know, identity, which is the future. That's why metaverse, there's such a huge, you know, craze around that, because that is what's going to come. When, we still don't know. We hope soon, right? That's why also Colt and Rain, we built out our own metaverse, our microverse called Culture World. We've, you know, tested the waters out with digital wearables, kind of like setting again, like the second floor of our foundation, you know, knowing that eventually we're going to be selling, you know, tens and thousands of digital wearables at a much lower price to a bigger mass, right? And this mass will include a much more younger Web2 audience, for example, you know, and that's how we're going to be able to survive. We can't just, this model is a scarcity model. It's a, it works with Colt and Rain because we're luxury, we're scarcity, you know, but you can't scale with that, right? Because it's very expensive, you know, it's very expensive.
Right.
So our vision and our goal is, okay, we're going to, we can scale with digital wearables in the future. You know, we're building the foundation, our credibility, generating confidence within our community, and then we'll start branching out kind of step by step.
I mean, what you said was great, and I think this leads me perfectly to the next question, in that, you know, fashion has pretty much always been a physical world thing, right? Always, it always has been. And I think over the last, you know, you mentioned Roblox, you mentioned the younger demographic really dabbling in the space. So I'd say like maybe the last decade, it slowly started to transcend into sort of our digital world. And I think as we begin to blur the lines between the physical world and the digital world, and virtual reality and augmented reality become, you know, kind of seamless, you know, tech in our lives, how do you see the future of fashion? Like, do you see it all going digital? Do you see every single thing, you know, having a digital and physical component, kind of digital? Like, what's your take on that?
I think everything will become digital. Yeah. So in my opinion, I think when you go into a Gucci store, and I don't know how many years from now, okay, is it a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I think it'll go in waves, but every product that you will purchase, you'll be able to scan it, right? And it will launch the digital version as well as the as part of the utility, so to speak, right? Some people will start from the physical, right? And some people will start from the digital, right? So we started with digital tied to the physical, but bigger brands, they don't have to do that because they have more resources. They can buy stock, you know, they can buy into it. In the future for Colt and Rain, we'll probably mix both, you know, but for now we're still, I'd say, digital first. But I do think that in the future, everything will become digital. Yeah. And I do think that there'll be two types of collections. There'll be digital collections where physicals are tied to digital for, you know, authentication, ownership, transferring. It can launch a AR wearable, for example. It can launch a matching digital wearable that you can then wear on your avatar and flex it in different metaverses out there, right? That are all going to interconnect as well, right? As the tech improves. And then I think there's going to be, I would say, different collections that are digital wearable only. You know, that, for example, Gucci or Colton Rain can sell again into the masses, but at a much lower price. So instead of, you know, paying whatever it is, you know, $1,000 for a sneakers for a digital product, you can pay, you know, $10 for the digital wearable. And the generation, the younger generation, will think that the digital wearable is just as cool, if not cooler.
Yeah.
You know? Right. They would definitely will. So when you say the word phygital, do you mean like products that are chipped and then there's this whole integration with the chip and the verification? Or is it AR specific where, you know, we're walking around wearing our Google Glass or you have the Snapchat filter, Instagram filter that you can scan a VR code and see that phygital or not phygital, but that AR representation of the thing in real life? Like, what do you mean by phygital and what does that look like?
The phygital term has been debated, right? And I've had a lot of debates around that word as well with different journalists, different, you know, I would say different people within the industry. It can be defined in so many ways. Like I can only tell you the way I interpret it. Mm-hmm. Like for example, with Drop 002, our phygital hoodie drop, this drop is basically a combination of, again, digital and physical. So we're going to start with a digital hoodie, okay, a NFT, right, that's going to be pre-revealed on OpenSea, for example, okay, so that people can come and purchase it, and then we will reveal it, okay, and then we will tell our collectors, hey, trading period has stopped, mm-hmm. okay, and come claim your physical. And this is all through LTD.inc's technology because they're actually going to pre-mint it first to load all the metadata into the chip, okay, first. And so that you don't even have to pay the gas fee to mint on OpenSea, you know, it's already up there.
Interesting.
And it's just unrevealed, so it's cheaper for the customers as well. That's another benefit of this model that we've created. Okay, so then we stop the trading because we lock the NFT. We're not burning it, okay? We lock the NFT. And then you come, you claim your physical, and then there's going to be a AR component that's attached to it now. So after you claim your physical, the luxury hoodie, right, is going to take between around 8 weeks to ship, between I'd say 6 to 8 weeks. Let's lean on 8 weeks because it always takes longer than expected. During this period of 8 weeks, you can download DressX's app, which is one of our partners for AR wearables, and you'll be able to launch your AR hoodie. And this AR hoodie is augmented reality. So the subject art on the hoodie will come alive. And we've been designing it with DressX for the past month. We've revealed a couple sneak peeks and kind of our community's freaked out because, for example, our black hoodie has like a Keiju monster on it with wings, and this Keiju monster comes alive, you know? So you're going to be able to flex with your AR wearable during this time of, I would say, waiting for your physical, right? Mm. And then when the physical arrives, then you scan it, okay? Then you authenticate it, right? And then you'll be able to immerse yourself into this entire new way of storytelling through the chip, you know? And that's another thing we can talk about later, is it's a whole new way of like information transferring through your scan, you know? And then after that, you will be able to trade the phygital itself on a phygital marketplace in Q3.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow.
And yeah, you know,
so you take it from start to finish, basically.
No, I love that user journey. You kind of already jumped ahead to what I was going to ask, because I really wanted to hear sort of the step-by-step how you're connecting it from start to finish. And, you know, ever since you first mentioned the chip, I'd say like 15 minutes ago or so, I'm very curious, how does that tech work? Could you dive in a little bit into what that's bringing to the article of clothing.
Mm-hmm. How do you scan it? Like what's...
Yeah, so it's just, it's, you scan it with your, you know, smartphone, right? And the, basically the chip itself activates your smartphone, okay? And then it, there's two ways that this can happen. It's web-based, okay? So you can either download ltd.inc's app for the full experience, okay? Or it can be web-based. And when you scan it, you will see the NFT and the ownership and the authentication pop up. But if you download the ltd.inc's app, the user journey becomes much more immersive in their storytelling. So we can load video content into the chip. When you scan the chip, right, you're going to be able to authenticate and verify the product that's already tied to the blockchain. And then there are other features that we can load in there. It's going to pull up the NFT and the edition number that's matched with the physical. Okay, so that's like locked in. And then there is going to be other bells and whistles. There's like product pictures that we can load. There's video content we can load, which we call kind of exclusive content, exclusive features.
Totally.
And the most, I think, the coolest thing about this tech is that we can load like rewards into the chip, into your digital hoodie. So that, for example, I'll just give one example, and then I think you'll be able to see the vision. Imagine you own our Drop O2 hoodie, right? And you're walking around New York City and we make an announcement. We're like, okay, anybody that's wearing our Drop O2 hoodie right now, scan your hoodie. You know, we are going to offer you directly an exclusive reward. And that can be, you know, exclusive access to our, I don't know, future pop-up shop. And you can receive 25% discount that's directly uploaded into the metadata, you know? Or if we host an event, we can say, you know what? The pink hoodie, let's say holders, you know, you have access into ABC of our event. The black hoodie, you know, holders have access into the VIP room.
Right.
There's a lot of gamification.
That's amazing.
And this is all tied to the chip, you know?
Wow.
So there's exclusive content we can put in there. For example, videos of me talking directly to you, the holder, the customer of this hoodie, where I can share exclusive content only to yourself.
So the chip acts, which, I guess, as a way to your, it's a token gated password. You use the token use the chip as the token that gates towards this community based platform on LTDs, like that's been created for you guys essentially. And then it allows you to put exclusive content or this cool rewards thing, which I think is really interesting. Is that basically it?
Yeah. I mean, and you can load like behind the scenes video that only the holder the holder of the hoodie can have access to. It's like a whole token gated experience based on the digital.
Wow.
Based on the hoodie itself.
Wow.
You know, which is, again, I think game changing. And
absolutely.
Other people are going to do that. We're not going to be the first. I don't know if we are the first, but for sure other people are, you know, deploying that tech as we speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen. You're going to be able to wear your digital fashion and have an entire new experience as long as you have a smartphone, you know, attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's step one, right? In the evolution.
That's just step one.
I love it. No, it's amazing.
No, because people have told me like, okay, what happens if you cut the chip out and you put it, you know, like, right? Like, yes, there's going to be those instances in the beginning, but in the future, the wires of the chip will all be woven into fabric.
Wow. Right?
So you're not going to be able to cut it out anymore. It's just going to be like part of the garment.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no doubt that the tech will get, you know, even better and more seamless. To your point, I'm sure there's going to be ways to sort of tamper proof it and all that. But you know, this really leads me also to, I guess, a follow up to that is, you know, you're kind of starting it on just, you know, LTDX. That's sort of the platform that we are working with. And this is also my question, just in general, for all, you know, AR wearables and fashion forward, like eventually I'm assuming there'll be a way for all of these things to interoperate. So your experience is not limited just to one application, right? It'll sort of span everything all across the board, all social media, all various metaverses, basically wherever you go, right? There'll be some sort of integration across the board.
Multi-platform will be the future, right? Same thing with metaverses out there right now. Like the whole idea is cross-platform in the future, but that's going to take time, right? We're still at really the dial-up stage.
Totally. Right?
Yes.
You know, like, proper dial-up stage.
I'm with you there. Everybody says we're so early, but I truly think with fashion and metaverse integrations and AR integrations, it's very, very, very early.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's great. So one thing I do want to talk about, George, is I'd love for you to give us, you know, you've talked about the user journey. You've talked about at least the user journey with how you plan to do the latest drop. Tell me a bit about some of your other drops and sort of the evolution from where you guys started and where you are now.
Sure. So I've mentioned earlier about our genesis, you know, kind of what kicked it off. And we really built our street credibility from grounds up. Our Genesis collection, we did different collaborations with different artists. For example, we collabed with Sophie Sturtevant, you know, from Genesis. She's a brilliant artist. We, you know, kind of worked together on this art that she designed and turned it into a repeat and then, you know, produced a luxury sneaker with it. We worked with Sean Williams. We worked with Javier Ares. We worked with the Hearts Project for our Genesis. Across four different models, 21 different colorways. So I have a couple of sneakers in front of me. This is our Atlas model.
That's a lot of customization.
Yeah, I mean, this is our camouflaged, original camouflage print. It's like a cubicatura technique, they call it in Italy, which there's like only two factories in Italy that can do this. It's like a film technique that they put on. We have our Vega model, you know, so our low top. This is brand new, so I still got that, factory smell to it. we're able to do a lot of tricks, right?
Laser
printing. You know, this is an original print that I designed. And then this is our Atlas model as well.
Wow.
So this is really the Genesis collection. And then after Genesis, we did drop 001, which is our varsity jacket drop. And with this drop, we again started with a 3D animated NFT. And this round, we did collaborations with five different communities. It was a community jacket, a community patch jacket, because it's like a varsity squad. And we did partnerships. Let me pull this here. This is the final physical that was produced.
I love these jackets.
We did a partnership with Deez that, you know, featured his CryptoPunk, his famous CryptoPunk. Roboto's, Hoppers, which is another community I love. Hearts Projects, again, and Wonder Pals. So it's like a Web3-inspired varsity jacket.
Love it.
Big alpha whale. You know, so this was really fun, and this was really well-received as well. A lot of people have been flexing the jackets. So we're kind of like building out our wardrobe, right? We started with sneakers. That's our core. We're going to keep running with our sneakers in the future, but ultra limited. So probably in Q2, Q3, we'll do like 101 edition drops with different collaborators, super scarce. Again, because the price point is so high, it's got to be really scarce and, you know, very limited, and all of our future sneakers will be chipped. So they're all going to be tradable second half on a digital marketplace.
That's right? Awesome.
LTD.inc's digital marketplace. They're going to give us the API so you can trade it on ColtonRain.com.
Love it.
So that was Varsity Jacket, Genesis, and then Drop 02. We're building out our wardrobe into hoodies.
Right.
A lot of our community have asked us over the past year, hey, when is Colton Rain going to launch hoodies and t-shirts and beanies and caps and your usual suspect, I would say, merch.
Yeah.
Right? And so we finally listened to our community. And for us, it was like, just why not use the hoodie as a as a vehicle this round, proof of concept, to test out our chip tech.
Yeah.
Because the price point is still reasonable. We're always luxury, huh? So the hoodie is like being made in Los Angeles at the same factory that produces for Fear of God.
Wow.
So the hoodies will retail for $650 easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like I picked a really luxury quality. I can just pull to my left and you guys can see this is how far I've taken it. This is the leather label.
Oh, yeah.
That actually comes on the hoodie. I just got this like yesterday. So this is an alpha sneak peek. This is made in Italy, in Bologna.
Wow.
I can't say who the factory is, but they produce, so this will be inside the hoodie. So
yeah.
Nobody, this is why it's luxury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do, always taking the product to the next level and just super stoked that we'll be able to tie our hoodies with the chip tech, AR, and also keep pushing it forward.
Yeah, I love that. And I love your attention to craft, George. I really do. It speaks to me. And I love, thanks for sharing the whole sort of journey. And I love your origins or sort of foundations and in sneakers. And I know you mentioned, earlier that it's a pretty expensive thing to produce and create and get into. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, brands like Mischief, right? Where they seem to be really hitting it out of the park over and over with these viral products, like the Big Red Boot that I'm sure you've seen all across the internet.
Or the
recently.
Jesus shoes.
Or the Jesus shoes, the Satan shoes, that sort of thing. So well, yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts.
I mean, those guys have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, it's not their first. I think they've been around almost probably what, 2-3 years.
Yeah, yeah, quite a bit. And they didn't start in sneakers at the beginning. They were just a sort of stunt marketing, art collective,
exactly.
Really just creating whatever their heart desired. Yeah. And then I think they've really found their product fit now in sneaker
big,
culture.
A big, big fan of Mischief and like especially the Red Boot. I think it's genius, really. Genius. So hats off to them for coming up with a product that is just so rad that it went literally viral, right? What I would say is, and it's funny that you mentioned this because I did tell our marketing team 2 weeks ago about the Red Boot story, and we actually studied Mischief a little bit. And my point to the team was, imagine if, for example, I call them Red Boot. Okay, so I'm like, imagine if Red Boot did a collab with Colton Rain. We should go after a brand like Red Boot because if we chip their Red Boot and we tie it to the digital model, right, their secondary sales right now of the Red Boot are going north of $3,000-$4,000 on StockX, for example, right? And if we show them the light on the digital model in the digital marketplace, they would be able to capitalize and get a royalty cut of every physical trade in the secondary market, which is game changing, right?
It
totally
is.
Game changing as a new financial model. So that brand came up on our radar. It's a great example. Actually, it's the perfect example of how we can capitalize on this digital chip technology and this digital marketplace that are all going to open up towards the end of the year, I would imagine. Yeah.
Wow. I just keep saying wow because I'm just blown away by this whole thing. I just think it's just so refreshing to see a project that's actually thinking about how this tech can solve so many problems in the fashion industry. And I think that leads me into my next question about the future of fashion. Where is Colton Rain going to be in terms of onboarding, all the other fashion houses that exist? Earlier in the interview, we were talking about that it was the it word. Everybody was paying attention to how much money there was. And now with the bear, there's a lot less attention. But you said it throughout the interview, and we know this to be true, that the metaverse world and digital fashion, AR fashion, is going to be the future for younger people. So you're already a pioneer in this space. You have connections in the old world. How are you and Colton Rain going to play a role in onboarding the fashion industry into this space?
That's a really great question. I would say hard work, dedication, and it's a lot harder now, to sell to Web2 brands.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Those days, you know, I don't want to, they're not gone. Okay. They're just on the sidelines, right? They're on the sidelines, chilling, looking at it, saying, okay, when is the best time to come in, right? A lot of brands have come in from Web2. You saw the Diesel and 8 collab, right?
Yeah.
GQ's launching their NFT drop, I think, next week, you know? Puma is doing something, right? I mean, they're still there. How we're going to onboard, I think the advantage that Colton Rain will have is to offer them our phygital tech that goes along with, you know, our storytelling. And the fact that not only are we able to, you know, kind of strike a chord with that tech, but we can also offer them digital wearables with it as well, you know, which we've also developed, right, and kind of mapped out. So, and it's making sure that, you know, they feel confident enough, you know, in a brand like Colton Rain so that, you know, we can form that type of partnership. And that's why we're pushing hard right now on Drop 02, the hoodie collection, because obviously we would love to mint out so we can then have another checkmark and proof of concept behind us so that we can go approach bigger brands. That's kind of the plan, man.
I love
step
that response.
Step by step.
Yeah. I love that. And you know what it is? It's like we talk about this all the time, George, right? There are no real experts in this space. It's so young and it's constantly growing. There's just people who have been here, you know, a couple months longer, a couple of years longer than, you know, us. And I'm sure we'll be in the space longer than someone entering, you know, 6 months from now. And, you know, and I love that you're just experimenting and growing. And I think that's the way to do it, right? Is to play in the space, test its limitations, right? Yeah. And see what you can do. And I think
that proof of concept, right? To show that, no, this isn't just, you know, a fad. This isn't a scam. This is real.
Yeah.
This is real. This is here to stay. Here's the proof to show it, right?
Yeah. And I love it. I love that you're doing that. And is there, you know, as we're winding down with our time here, is there, like, what's the most important lesson that you've learned since you've started in Web3?
Wow, that's a hard question. I've learned so many lessons, man. I feel like I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
I've learned the most from our community, you know? And I think just be as transparent as possible. And
what does that mean to you?
That means that, like, you know, we've had hiccups along the way, that's for sure. You know, like, for example, we had certain models where the color of our original NFT didn't match the final production due to minimums, due to production in real life constraints. You know, we've had certain models that we had to fine tune, we had to tweak in order to produce it again in real life. And if I were to do it over again, which for sure moving forward, this will never happen again, because only the first round, it was like, you know, kind of a shot in the dark, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we had this crazy concept and let's just go for it and let's see if it works. And it hit, you know, then it's like, oh shit, we gotta like make it happen now, you know? So yeah, there were many instances where, you know, I could have got ahead of the situation and, you know, told our community in advance, you know, on delivery delays, on, you know, we kept informing everybody along the way. But it's hard, you know, because Italian manufacturing, shipping, logistics, everything, it's like a nightmare to deal with, you know, especially when you're trying to ship around the world. So I would say lesson learned on, you know, always quote a later delivery date than something, you know, sooner, and always kind of be transparent on any issues that you face with your community and be transparent and tell them in advance and don't wait till the end, not thinking that it would be a big deal, you know, which we've encountered. So again, I think, yeah, like lesson learned on certain things to just have an open dialogue with your community always.
Well, you know, it's really interesting you say that, because I mean, I commend you first and foremost on all that and for, you know, for diving into, you know, where you've may have even fallen short at times. It's really interesting because, you know, we obviously see Web3 as this counterculture to Web2. You know, Web2 was highly centralized, right? It was like all these massive corporations and, you know, talking to an audience, and Web3 pivots from that, right? It dives very heavily into decentralization, very heavily into transparency, right? I think so much so that at times, I mean, failing and falling short sometimes with goals is just a natural,
part of running a business or being a human. Yeah.
And so for me, and we've talked about this, is that, you know, we offer up the communities the courtesy of transparency, but then, you know, sometimes you're held up to your failings a lot more strictly, I think, at times. And there's not that much courtesy or leeway given when these things that are natural parts of business do happen. So it's just an interesting give and take. And I almost wonder if we also as consumers should be a little bit more flexible with businesses who are growing and pioneering and paving the way in the space, you know?
I mean, our community has been great, you know, and they have been flexible and lenient and understanding towards Colt and Rain. And most importantly, like, it's difficult as a founder. It's difficult as, you know, like the leadership thing, because we have a direct line with our community.
Mm-hmm.
That's Web3. I mean, on Discord, I'm on Discord, yeah, almost every other day, you know, so you can come into Discord and talk to me direct at any time, or you can pose a question and I will answer or try to answer as soon as possible, because that's the Web3 ethos, right? And that's a double-edged sword, right? Like, you can't go out and reach out to, I don't know, the creative director of Gucci or, you know, Louis Vuitton, or, I mean,
could you imagine?
Good luck trying to send them an email and see if they reply.
Yeah.
You know, versus on the Web3 side, I think every single founder of a Web3 project faces the same issue, which is we're accessible. You know, you can DM us, you know, it's wide open, right? We're always there. We have to answer to everybody's questions, everybody's concerns, everybody's FUD, you know, and that's kind of part of the game. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, it definitely
but,
is.
But it's not easy, you know, because we're a target too, right?
Yeah.
The team and I, yeah.
A target, because so, people who are investing into these companies, they don't have the risk tolerance that like a VC does and doesn't understand fully how this goes. Everybody's kind of learning together, you know, everybody, including the consumer at the end is figuring it out. And so I agree that transparency is very important. And I think the way that you at Kelton Rain have handled it is really commendable and great. And people should be learning from that. But do you think, like, what's the limit to transparency, I guess?
Man, I don't know. I'm trying to learn as we go. Like, I try to just be as open as possible and be as direct as possible to our community. So much so that, you know, my DMs are full of like potential, you know, like security situations where people just, you know, they like becomes a, you know, kind of, I don't know how you say it. I don't know how you say it. It just, I guess I'm very accessible right now.
Right.
You know? So like people can reach me in different avenues. I'm trying to learn what that balance is to still keep the community happy with my involvement, with my face, with my communication. But it's not, again, it's tricky. It's tricky, yeah. Because if I'm too silent, then they're like, you know, why isn't the leadership team, you know, talking to us?
Yeah.
You know, and if we're talking too much, they're like, why? It's like, it's almost like we're always on thin ice, you know, because if we say something, then they'll dig it up and say, but you said this. And we're like, when did we say that? They're like, I have a screenshot of it, you know? We're like, oh my God, that was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And things change really rapidly.
Totally.
Within Web3.
Oh my God.
So yeah, man, I'm trying to figure it out. The team and I are trying to figure it out. Take it day by day, and I'm sure we'll find that balance.
Yeah. Well, I will say you guys have done a really good job with it. So, and other people should be looking to you as an example because you are handling it well. But I can only imagine the challenge that has been for you guys as a human being, and then as a business owner and employer, and then this icon, you know, influencer for your community, right?
Yeah.
In a way. So,
yeah.
But that's why a lot of brand project founders, they get burned out, huh? Because It's 24/7.
Yeah.
Discord doesn't sleep. Twitter doesn't sleep. Web3 doesn't sleep. You know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, it doesn't sleep.
No,
there's
that
is so true.
It doesn't, there's no off market time.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
Yeah. It's not 9 to 5.
Yeah. No. It's not. It's not. I feel like nowadays the weekends are a little bit quieter, right? Like 6 months ago, a year ago, even the weekends was like full on.
Yeah.
But now at least I think the market in general, everybody's like, okay, maybe we'll just take it easy on the weekends. And then Monday through Friday, everybody just like pushes.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have one question I missed. Why Colton Rain? What was the meaning behind the name?
It's a great question. The first thing I did when I designed Colton Rain was I wrote out hashtag CULTR, and that stood for culture. You know, it's the short of culture. And then CULT, cult, is like a group of people that believe in something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Rain, because we're a drop model, we're a scarcity model, and we wanted our, you know, drops to rain around the world. So it became culture and rain. But culture and rain didn't really look balanced. And then I just designed the logo out with my team. Cult ampersand became our logo, which we designed, and that kind of pulled the rain together. So it's Colt and Rain.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's
I love
great.
It.
Yeah. And CNR, Colt and Rain.
Yeah. It's very clean. Do you want to talk about how people can get it? Well, maybe not get in touch with you because you're already so slam, but get in touch with Colt and Rain or learn more about the next drop or what's going on there. Anything that we missed?
Yeah. So we're going to be dropping O2. It's going to be a super scarce collection of digital hoodies across 4 different colorways. So black, stone, pink, and blue. Each of them will be a set of 1 to 100. And then we'll have the one. So it's a 401 collection. Each of the 100 set will have a rarity scale built into it. The top rarities will get, you know, certain perks, including future free mints, future airdrops. And also the top rarity will get a limited edition sneaker of the Atlas, which the community is voting on right now. We designed 4 colorways.
Yeah.
And right now, the green is in the lead. The green's in the lead. So I guess we'll probably close it off next week. And whatever comes in on top, that'll be part of a bonus utility on top of the 1-to-1 matching hoodies. And yeah, we have 3 tech involved in the hoodies. We have AI, which generated the subject art, which you actually didn't talk about. That can be a whole separate story because AI is really hot right now too. So we leverage AI tech to generate the subject art, which obviously we had to modify and make it original, Colton Rain. But that tech was used. AR, we have a partnership with DressX. You'll be able to launch the subject and make it come to life with the AR wearable. And then of course, NFC chipping through our partnership with LTD.inc. So we think it's fully loaded.
It is.
We have, it's luxury. It's ultra scarce. It's 1-to-1 physicals produced, again, at the same factory that does Fear of God. And yeah, we're excited. You know, we need the community support. We need Web3 support to help us, you know, mint this thing out so we can then keep growing and scaling up. But yeah, it's stressful as hell, but you know, team is working 24/7, and we do believe that, you know, we'll have this thing dusted with our community behind us.
You're gonna mint out. There's no question. You're gonna mint out. Like I'm nervous about the first like round of pre-mint minting. No, I am. Like I'm gonna be there whenever the mint time. I'm gonna ask you, when's the mint time? Because I'm gonna be the first person to buy one. Like seriously.
For sure. Yeah. You know, we're stoked. Yeah, we're pumped, and we do know that it's a really scarce collection, right? Which is kind of the draw. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are going to mint it out. No problem. It's such a beautiful business plan and a beautiful way to bridge the real world and the digital world and bring so much value. Like so great.
Yeah. Hats off to you guys. Seriously. Yeah.
Thank you.
Seriously.
And then second half, Web2 folks can come in, right? From the digital market.
Exactly.
That's the goal. We need to onboard more Web2 people into Web3. So once it's on the digital marketplace, Web2 folks can come in and purchase with the credit card.
Yeah.
Right. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, really making it accessible, right? And lowering the barrier to entry for those who might be curious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
So the final thing, George, how do people get in touch with you or Colton Rain? What should they look up?
www.coltonrain.com. So coltandrain.com. Or you can visit our socials. So Twitter is also at coltandrain. Same thing with IG and through Discord. So DM us. We're always available. Honestly, like literally, we check every single DM, and we filter out the noise, the dangerous ones. We filter out, okay, and then the rest we always respond.
Love it. Thank you so much, George, for your time. And I'm so excited for the Mint. I cannot wait for you guys to finish launching everything. And best of luck with the Mint. I'm sure you're going to mint out, though.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for inviting me today. And I really appreciate everything. And thanks for the support and love.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Anytime. Wow. To quote you, wow. That was great.
My jaw was on the floor. Proverbially, of course.
Yeah.
But I hope you guys enjoyed that interview because I certainly did. And I'm in awe at what Colton Rain is doing because this is exactly what we're advocating for with this podcast, is for innovative people and innovative ideas to disrupt the way business is currently run using blockchain technology to be able to create a whole new ecosystem, a whole new world, a whole new way of selling or doing business. And that is exactly what Colton Rain is doing.
And I think that's why it hits so close to home for you. You know, I'm the ideas guy. You are always about the execution. And I love the critical lens through which you look at, and evaluate all the different players in the Web3 space.
Thank you.
So the fact that this is a real tangible business building something amazing within Web3, is a huge testament to one of the, I would say, most important use cases that this technology will bring.
Absolutely, especially in fashion.
Yeah.
Especially in fashion. Well, if you enjoyed that episode and you want to stay up to date with everything Not a JPEG, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the little bell so you can stay notified with all of our new episodes coming up. And as I said earlier, if you're on social media, check us out at Not a JPEG Podcast. We'll be linking a ton of information related to Colton Rain's new drop and sharing everything that's going on with Colton Rain, plus snippets from this episode. But finally, make sure you remember to tell the sneakerhead in your life or the high fashion lover in your life or anybody that's interested in the intersection between blockchain tech and anything and still skeptical, make sure you share this episode with them and remind them that Not a JPEG is your new favorite podcast. Thanks so much.
We'll see you next time.